You know, when you can jump in church, you know that you're getting closer to God. Amen? That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. As we've been going through our series on Isaiah 40, verse 31, and been looking at those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they'll rise up, wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. There's so much packed into that scripture. And Pastor Kobus took it further 2 weeks ago when he spoke about the Israelites being released from Egypt and just all the challenges that they faced and they're wandering in the wilderness. And then Lorette last week spoke about the hiding place. And what was so prolific in that message was that closeness, that intimacy that God wants to breed in our hearts so that we can fulfill the call upon our lives. That was so prolific to me. And she said a wonderful thing at the end. Can you remember? Those that were here last week? Because the three things that we are doing is waiting, time of refreshing, renewal, and then run. And she said that's in a circle. We wait, we renewed, we run. We wait, we renew, we run. It's a process of God working in you and through you to his glory so that he can present you holy and blameless in his sight. So this morning, we're going to go through a little bit of a challenging message, if I may. And I really believe you're going to be challenged in your hearts as we share together. In our spiritual lives, you know me, I like to use different analogies and have a bit of fun with a play on words, etc. I told James this morning, you asked me, do you want the lapel mic? I said, no, man, I'm an OFP. He said, what's that? I said, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. don't need funny things. Anyway, I'm going to just go through a few things, and I just want to challenge you a little bit this morning and see if you're awake. There are different spiritual rooms that we go through in our walk with Christ. You know, in the house, we have a bathroom. Okay, we're not going to cover that, don't worry. You know, we have an operation room. Spiritually, that's where God does the work in our lives, okay? So let's see if you can get this right in order, because there's a process of looking at the different spiritual rooms that we go through in our lives. So where do we start as Christians? What's that room called?
The baby room.
You close? Come on. You close? What do you call it? The delivery room. Okay? That's where you're born again. Amen? That's when you're delivered from sin. You walk into a new life in Christ. You're born again. That's where it all starts. That's where your revelation comes. That's where your eyes are opened and your heart is enlightened to the answer to what you've been searching for. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen? What's the second room? What happens after the delivery room? Do you just sit or become a pastor straight away? Or what happens?
The furnace.
Oh, no, that's coming, bro. Don't worry. What's the second room? You close. For the later one. What do we then go through? The classroom. Okay, we go through encounter. We go through Bible school. We start preparing our hearts with a word that creates a foundation for us and builds our faith. Okay, classroom. Guys are not doing very well. What's the third one? You're not going to get this. If you get this, I'll stop preaching. What's the third room?
If you're naughty, the principals.
And those in the meeting this morning, you're not allowed to answer. What's the third room in our spiritual walk with Christ? And this is the room, let me just tell you. Anyone know?
The intimacy room.
Yeah, you're getting close. You're getting very close.
The room of sanctification.
You're getting even closer. It's called the waiting room. Wow. We're going to unpack that in a little while, okay? Because I'm going to be looking at the third room, the waiting room. What's the last one?
Throne room.
Getting there. It's not called the room. It's called something else, but the departure room. Ah! the departure, is it called a departure room at the airport, or is it called something? The lounge. Why is it called a lounge? Because God has released you into His purposes for your life. You have that honorable position of being in His presence in the lounge to be released into what God has called you to do. This is my little way of looking at things. I hope it makes sense. But I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you are sitting here this morning and you're saying, I've waited long enough? Tired of waiting. Come on. I'm tired of waiting for my breakthrough. Tired of waiting for my answer to prayer. I've been praying for many years. How many of you are tired of waiting for that shift in your job? That shift just in your family? That shift in your life priorities? How many of you have been waiting for your healing? Wow. When we start thinking about the waiting room, so many things go through our minds. But what is the one thing that characterizes a waiting room? What happens in a waiting room? What's the one thing we're reminded of in a waiting room? What's it governed by?
Patience.
Huh?
Patience.
Yeah. Time. Amen, brother. Come get your chocolate afterwards. Hallelujah. Jeez, for once the congregation's with me. Hallelujah. Time. In our spiritual waiting rooms, I want to encourage you this morning. There's one thing you need to avoid as you wait upon the Lord. Avoid making time contracts with God. Whew, come on. Oh God, when I reach this age, I'm going into the ministry. Oh God, when that breaks through, that's my time. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. God has a way and a time for your life. Amen. And to release you into His calling, His perfect time of breakthrough, answer to prayer, and what He wants to do with you in His kingdom. Wow. You see, we get easily discouraged when things don't go according to our plan, right? You know, this should have happened. I should have been in the ministry by now. This is an amazing testimony to me this morning. I was excited to preach, and the message has been resonating in my heart. I've been wanting to share this for a while. And I was driving this morning to church, and I was excited. I said, yes, Lord, this is a message in season. And I was really, and I turned on Radio Tigerberg. How many of you listened to Radio Tigerberg this morning? Pastor Angus. Did you hear his message? Anyone? Guess what he was speaking on? Waiting. And Pastor Angus said, you know, I didn't just wait. He says, I actively waited. He said, I used to go out as a 20-year-old into the fields, and I used to preach to the corn. And I used to even have an altar call. He says, man, I waited upon the Lord. And he brought out the essence of that. And I came to church just so excited. I'm in the yes, lekker. Amen. How many of you have prayed maybe for years for something? Come on, let me see those hands. And you've reached the point of no more prayer. Just, I can't pray anymore. I just don't have the strength to trust God anymore. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. And you've given up because you've prayed for a promise that has not materialized yet in your time scale. Wow. There's always two dynamics at work here, if you think about it. There's a time of testing and a testing of time. Hello? A time of testing means that God takes us through the fire. God takes us through our circumstances, and He builds character, and he molds us, and He makes us into what He wants us to be. And then there's the testing of time. That's where the patience comes in. Are you prepared to wait for God? Are you prepared to wait for His timing? Galatians 6 verse 9. And by the way, I'm sharing scriptures that have really helped Rochelle and I in our lives as we went into full-time ministry many years ago. And Galatians 6 verse 9 is just such a powerful scripture in line with this. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Oh, come on, church. Isn't that exciting? God's promised you in his timing. There's not just a dribble coming, there's a harvest coming, church. God wants to pour out his blessings upon your life, as he did to our family as we waited for the calling upon our lives. I'll share that a bit later. God gave me a promise in 1985. Okay, I'd been saved for a year. I was in church one morning, this youngster praising God, and I felt God very distinctly stir my heart, and the words came, I've called you into full-time ministry. I didn't even really know what that meant, because I'd only been saved for a little while. But I carried it with me, and I shared it with, we were at Bible college a couple of months later, and I shared that, and people prayed over me that God would release me in his perfect timing. 6 years later, a lot had changed in my life. The best thing that had changed in my life is that a certain young lady came into my life. You know? and then we started building a life together. And God took us up to Pretoria against our will. How many of you know that you might think geographically God's got you exactly where he wants you to do what he wants to do in your life? It doesn't always work like that. Rochelle grew up in Cape Town. She'd never even seen the Karoo. And then God took us to Pretoria in like 3 weeks. We had to pack up and go. Didn't understand. I was in the Air Force. They transferred me. Hated it. Rochelle cried to Beaufort West from Cape Town. Didn't stop. But God did something in his time as we went through the waiting room in Pretoria. Whew. It was an exciting time, but a very difficult one. You see, my desire was still strong 6 years later, serving in the Hatfield Christian Church, being cell leaders there, and loving the ministry there, but I still wasn't in full-time ministry. 6 years later. The truth is, was that word wrong that God gave me 6 years previous? No. Do you know what happened to the word? It was in suspension. Word wasn't dead. It was hanging there for his timing. It was there. It hadn't left. Woo. I'm telling you, the promise over your life is always in the background if you don't see it right now. And then in 1991, how many years later was that? A couple? Okay. One morning in my quiet time, I got this incredible vision of what God wanted to do in my life. Showed me the mission field. He showed me exactly the country. Showed me how it was going to happen, what I was going to work with. I was going to work with children. And my whole heart was blown apart. I can't even tell you the level of expectation that was birthed in my heart in that moment. Did God release me then? No. 9 years later, I had to wait another 9 years to be God's perfect timing for him to release me into the mission field in Kenya, where we stayed for 10 years, and where God blessed us and changed our whole lives. You see, when we get into a period of being frustrated and we have unrealistic expectations of God, please, God has not left you. He's not forgotten you. He's not taken your promise away. But what God is doing in that time, he's busy building character. Come on. He's building character, resolve, and substance in his time to prepare you for the perfect time of release. Wow. Never make a time contract with God. Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19. Now the backdrop here is on my favorite waiter. His name is Joseph. Joseph with his dream and his technicolored coat, favor, his brothers are jealous, they chuck him in a pit, and his waiting room experience starts. By the way, Joseph waited 13 years. You see, it refers here to something really prolific. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Wow! That is so, so powerful. Joseph's testing in the time. And in that moment, his dream was held in suspension. And God began the work to release him into his calling. What is God's word in your life? What's hanging in suspension for you right now? Is it a prophecy that came? Somebody prayed for you prayed over you and said, this is what they believe God is calling you to. Did you have a vision like I did? Is it a scripture? Was it just a revelation that God gave you? You know what's so easy is hearing the word. Because you get excited. You get this prophecy. Wow, look what God's going to do. And you get so full of expectation and you can't wait. Hearing the word is easy. Preparing for the release of the word is not. Wow. Your promise is hanging, church. Say to your neighbor, your promise is in suspension. Come on. You see, you have to wait in order for God to prepare you for his timing and not yours. That's the biggest key in the waiting room. Many of us are not good waiters. I waited 16 years. I nearly gave up so many times. I asked my wife. There are four keys that you need in your waiting room time. Firstly, the waiting room prepares and purifies your heart. Thank you for saying that. The waiting room prepares and purifies your heart. You see, the biggest mistake we can make is serving our vision, just focusing on the vision that God has given us or that word. Or are you serving the vision that is within you? God who's there, who made that possible for you. You see, God refines us and then he aligns us. He can't align you until he's refined you. It's like you can't become a Springbok if you didn't even play club rugby. Well, maybe somebody has, I don't know. But you've got to go through the process, right, of being prepared, of being ready, so that God can align you to release you into your call-up to the kingdom bookies. Amen. Come on. Instead of getting frustrated and impatient in the waiting, if there's one thing you can do this morning, understand that God is preparing your heart. This heart of yours that is beating for him. God is preparing it to serve him in the way he needs you to. Man, Moses waited 40 years. Okay? David 15. Joseph 13 years. For that period of time to come to pass where God released them. Or their breakthrough came. But here's the thing. The gap between the suspended word and the crown on your head, your release, is God's time to refine you and to work in your heart. That's what he needs to do. The time or the gap between the suspended word and your release, the crown on your head, is God's time to refine you. God cannot use you in the kingdom if he doesn't refine you, if he doesn't change your heart, doesn't work through and in you to get rid of the things that shouldn't be there. Job 23 verse 10, another scripture that just carried us. Can we put that up? For he knows the way that I take. God knows where you are right now, church. God knows exactly what you're feeling. God knows exactly what you're planning. God knows those things. For when he has tested you, you shall come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I've kept to his way. Without turning aside. Wow. What a promise. Job went through all kinds of chochas and chut in his life. I mean, he's been through the worst kind of testing you could ever imagine. His friends left him. His friends tried to help him. So many things happened. He lost his family. He lost his possessions and everything. But there's one thing he did. He stuck close to God and he trusted in him. Wow. The only way for gold to be pure is through the fire. Come on. The only way for gold to be refined, for your life to be refined, for your heart to be changed and made pure, is through the fire. It's not an easy place to be in. But God does his best work in the fire, church. You see, your heart needs to be pliable. Your heart needs to be soft. Your heart needs to be purified, ready to be a blessing and to be used in all the gifts and fruit of the Spirit that God wants to work in you and through you, so that you can have substance as a minister of his love. The waiting room is a place of fire. Wow. We need to understand what the fire does. So if you mine for gold, how many of you are gold diggers? Hey! When you take gold out of a rock, okay, is it clearly identifiable, this is gold? Now, when you take gold out of a rock, sometimes it's unrecognizable. This failure is full of other stuff, but you know it's gold. And you take that gold, and the only way to bring the purity out of that gold is to throw it in the fire. And what happens, because gold is heavy, when you throw the gold in the fire, the gold drops to the bottom. And all that other chacha metals and alloys that have clinged itself to that rock float to the top. And what happens to the gold? It becomes brittle. It becomes soft. It becomes pliable. Wow. You see, church, if we have hard hearts, the only place that God can soften your heart is through the fire. So he can purify your heart in the waiting. He needs to deal with our stubbornness, our hardness, and our unbelief. Because we're all in a place where we know how much God loves us. And we know we get disappointed because we let God down and all those kinds. You see, the other metals are not pure. And what do those other metals do? They corrode the gold. That's why it has to be refined. And when sin comes into our lives, it messes us up. It devalues us. Almost. And it brings us to a place of, God, you need to turn up the fire maybe. I don't know how many of us pray that prayer. There's some of us here this morning that need to pray that prayer. Because there's stuff in our lives that are messing up with that suspended word upon your life. Wow. Psalm 51 verse 10. David cried out in the midst of his, that poor, okay, I'm telling you, he ran away from Saul and hid and did all kinds of things and then he messed up and listen, he sounds a lot like us, but he became a king, by the way. Create in me a clean, pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a right spirit within me. In the waiting room, that's what you need to pray, church. In the waiting room, that's what you need to desire before God this morning. Purify my heart, O God. You see, like Joseph, his waiting room was a prison. I don't know what yours feels like at the moment. But if you commit to the waiting and its process, there's a joy set before you. God's got something amazing in store for your life. Number two, the waiting room helps to grow you, helps to prepare you to be who God wants you to be in the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. But I want to stop with patience. Somebody mentioned that this morning. Okay, what is patience really? In this context, as you're in the waiting room and you're waiting, it's the ability to bear the imperfections, the remorse, the challenges in others, and in oneself, and in our circumstances. Out of an understanding of our own need, our own humility in needing God's love and His grace and His mercy in our lives. You see, when you're dependent upon that, when you recognize and you take ownership of the fact that it's through His grace and His grace alone that you can make it, that's when patience gets you over the line. I love that. In the waiting room, you need to start grabbing that suspended word, reaching out to it, being in touch with it, being in the proximity to it through your intimacy with God in the waiting room. The waiting room is also the best classroom, as it teaches us to depend on Him and look to Him in our time of need. The waiting room also does something amazing in that as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, it helps us to think differently and to do differently. So many of us, when we get called into the ministry or we feel there's this or we sense this call upon our lives, we tend to focus on the gifts of the Spirit, right? There's a difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. You see, if you focus on your calling and the gift of the Spirit, you're going to lack in the fruits of the Spirit. If you flow in the gifts without the fruit, that's when things are going to go a little bit skiff and the wheels are going to start coming off. You become ineffective and weak because you're not growing in the very substance that God wants to build into your life in terms of what the fruit of the Spirit does. You know, we all go through tragedy, we all go through heartache, we all battle and struggle with difficulties. But the best way to grow is through those stinky, horrible experiences that we go through in our lives. When we were in Kenya, I went into the bush the one day, and this guy was preaching this message on umbulea. Umbulea is the Kiswahili word for manure. And I kind of coined it as we go through umbulea experiences in our lives. Do you know what it means? Umbulea? What does umbulea mean? Okay? It's stinky. It's horrible. But it's the stuff that is used to grow the seed. If I give you a seed right now and I say to you, oh, here's a lovely seed. Don't you want to put it in the ground? Go and get yourself a nice container. All right? Spray it with perfume. Oh, don't forget the cotton wool. You don't want to damage the seed. Okay, let's stick it in a symmetrical little hole and nice river sand, and we get some spring water and we water it, and you stand back and da frekti them. Why? Because it's not in the right condition in the ground. But you stick it in the ground with last year's messes and mulch and all the aichut, and you stick it in the ground and you just let the process do its thing, God's timing do its thing. What happens? And it grows. Let the dirt do its work. It's hard. It's hard to trust God during the dirt-filled experiences in your lives. But the truth is, that's where you grow, church. That's where God takes you. And He refines your heart. And He teaches you through the gifts of the Spirit, or through the fruit of the Spirit, how to live your life. Man, that's exciting for me. Many times we find ourselves in very stinky and difficult situations. In those times, remember, God's busy working. And God's busy growing you. Amen? The waiting room helps us to also cut back a little bit. You know, we need to prune the things in our lives so that they can grow. Hebrews 6 verse 12. Could we put that up? We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You see, it's so easy for us to just sit back. But God wants us through faith and patience to inherit what has been promised. You see, when you combine faith and patience together, something wonderful happens in terms of The change that takes place, because it's a combined nature of expectation for change. Patience, however, sees us over the line. Number three. These are two short points. The waiting room requires discipline. The waiting room requires discipline. You see, we make decisions in our time of waiting. And the greatest hindrance to accomplishing our purpose in God and realizing that dream that God is, and the word that God has given us, is procrastination. By getting impatient and saying and thinking all those things that you shouldn't, it can become disastrous to your waiting, because you wait with procrastination rather than with expectation. It's a simple mistake that we make. Don't procrastinate. Don't try and work things and conjure things up in your own way, in your own time. When it comes to, for example, seeking a marriage partner, okay? And it's been a process. You say, I've waited, and I've waited, and I've waited, and I've dated, and I've dated, and I've dated, but nothing's happening. So now it's up to God. No! Become the person you need to be and need to become. You see, when you're disciplined, you become who God wants you to be for the partner who is coming. Can I say that again?
Amen.
Become the person you need to be and need to become for the partner who is coming. It's encouraging. I sense it encouraging that this morning. Become happens in the waiting room. Don't procrastinate. I remember, you know, I could have just sat after nearly 16 years and saying, God, you know, what do I do? I'm not getting to the mission field. You know what God says to me? Go and take people who are going into the mission field, take them to the airport. I said, what? I don't want to take them to the airport. I want to go to the airport. I started dropping people off. I come back home. I'm crying. I said, they're going, Lord, I'm not. Help. This is 1987. We're in Pretoria. There's Mamelodi, big township. God says, I want you to go and serve there in the church. I go. I meet this pastor from Nigeria who wants to plant a church in Sunnyside. And he asks for people to help him. No one puts up their hand. And he says, okay, I'm up. So, Pastor Clement, I'll help you. And I remember the very first service, I took my little, what do you call that thing, music box, and I had a little compilation for worship. He had about 20 people in the service, and he preached. And he preached on the Valley of the Dry Bones. I'll never forget. Powerful sermon. I thought, sure, God's got a hand on this man. I want to support him. And I supported him for a couple of weeks, and I prayed with him and whatever. He ended up having one of the largest churches in Pretoria with over 50,000 people. 5,000 people in his congregation. And I just had a little part to play. But I didn't sit still and procrastinate. I said, God, use me so that I can become who you want me to be. Wow. The waiting room is not a wasted time. The waiting room is never a wasted time. Number four, the waiting room reveals the level of your trust. Come on. And grows your intimacy with God. Am I going to slip back into the place that I've missed God? You know, so many times we say, right, I'm giving up, I'm bailing out, and you run down the road, you do your own thing, and then you cry out to God, God, where are you? And God says, hello, I'm back in the waiting room waiting for you. Huh? So many times we shout out and we cry out to God, this is not working. Another year, I've waited for already. My question to you this morning is, where's your level of trust in Him? For Him to do His work in you and through you. Here's a big one for me. How many no's will you take before you exit the waiting room? How many no's will you take before you give up? But you have a choice. You can manipulate the wait, or you can capitulate the wait. Manipulate meaning you make it your decision. Or you can yield to what God is doing. You can heal to the way God wants to do it in His time. It's all about intimacy. We love that song, "As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you, O Lord." James 4 verse 8. It actually came through the message this morning and the communion. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's one thing you need to do in the waiting room. Draw near to God. Get close to him. Cry out to him every day. Saying, God, that suspended word is there, but I'm trusting in you. I'm panting after you, Lord. I'm longing after you, Lord Jesus. So to cut a long story short, here we are, 16 years later, still not in the mission field, very frustrated. I'm a personnel manager at a big company. The company had grown and multiplied since I'd been there. I was this little oak who started it off. I had a small little diploma. I wasn't very qualified, but I ran the personnel department. It was great. The problem is it grew so fast that I had to do a lot more things that I couldn't do. I wasn't qualified to do. But they liked me. It's the closest thing to ministry, you know, serving people. So I was happy. Well, kind of. And my MD called me in one day and he said, Peter, we want you to step up and we're going to send you, pay for you to do an MBA. We like you in the company. You've made a lot of contribution to where we are, but your role needs to step up. So that meant the suspended word, ek moet dit nou weggooi. And I said, but God, you'd call me into full-time ministry. If I take up this, this is going to mess up everything. What do I do? How many of you find yourself in that situation sometimes? Wow, that was a tough one. I went home, I said to Rochelle, you know, we had a company car at the time, it was comfortable. We can do this, you know. I can go and study some more, it's okay. But that whole week, I was so, so uncomfortable. I knew it was the wrong decision. And I went back to my MBA and said, I can't do it. I know God has called me into the ministry, I don't know when. And what they then proceeded to do was I sidelined in the organization. They brought in this big guy, from the Air Force, because we were in the armament company, and he came in, and all my subordinates then became my colleagues. And for a year and a half, I cried, man. I wasn't in a good place. Don't get me wrong, the new boss was okay. But it wasn't, it was disreveled, it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't right. And I just said, God, what are you doing here? What must I do, Lord? Please help me. And I stuck it out. I remember driving on the highway and pulling off on the highway because I was crying so much. Saying, God, please break through for me, Lord. You promised. And you know what? God's promises are yes and amen. But so many times, through the tears that we cry, we miss them. You've got to hold on to his promises because he'll bring them to fruition. So what happened is, eventually came to a place where I couldn't anymore. And I went to my MD. I said, Alan, I can't. This was a Friday. I said, I can't anymore. I just don't know what God wants to do, but I have to trust him. I have to take a leap of faith here. And he said, Peter, look, you've been so faithful. We're going to pay you 3 months. Okay, we're going to release you because we know this is hard for you. And God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. We know that. Man, that Friday night, I mean, I remember crying with Rochelle. You know, obviously it's scary as well because now I don't have a job anymore. And I was there for 10 years. That Sunday we go to church, go to Hatfield, and the administration head comes up, he makes the announcements, and he stands by the pulpit and he says, the church is really growing, we're really blessed, and our administration department is growing, we're looking for an HR manager. Just my ears didn't ring, they just exploded. What? They're looking for what? So I went to Laurie afterwards and said, Laurie, please don't advertise anymore. It's my job. Please. And for the next 2 years, I established the HR department in the Hatfield Christian Church in Pretoria. And it was during that time that a wonderful man by the name of Mark Kariuki from Kenya came to lead a conference with his associate, Paul Mwakio. And they led the conference that weekend, and I got to know them. My heart resonated with them. And that was the October. The April, they invited me to come do a women's conference in their town in Nakuru in Kenya. with the thought of maybe going to serve in the ministry there. That was the April, hey love? And then, that was April. And then in September, we left for Kenya as full-time missionaries. And our whole lives changed. Our whole lives changed. That suspended word came to fruition in God's time, not mine. God will work in the most incredible way in your life if you allow him to. I know we're running out of time, and we'd love to have called this man up to come and share, but we have an incredible man in our congregation that I've walked with for the last couple of months, and just, I love this guy so much because he epitomizes what it means to wait, to wait upon the Lord and to trust God. I'm talking about Rolf. Come on. If anyone has waited, it's Rolf. You know, Rolf had a prophetic word over his life that he's going to speak into government, that he's going to be prolific in ministry. He's been in show for longer than many of us, okay? But he's hung in there. He's trusted God. And he's been in the waiting room for a while. But he's not tired of waiting. God has done some deep work in his life. God had to work through the pride. God had to work through the disappointment. But I'm telling you, I'm so proud of you. Because you have hung in there and you've trusted God, Rolf, through difficult times, you and your family. And I want to honor you this morning. Thank you for being an example to us of what it means to wait, to be in the waiting room, and to know that God is busy with you.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
I wish we had more time. But can we stand on our feet, please? And Rolf, I'd love you to come up and minister with the leaders, please. The rest of the leaders. I just want to ask you this morning, is your word suspended? Intimacy is the key to the waiting room. You see, God created human beings, not human doings. God wants you to be who God has called you to be, not to try and do your own thing. So where do you find yourself right now? Let's go to Isaiah 40. That's our scripture. I want to end with this. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Where are you this morning? I really want to pray. And I want to ask you, if your promises are suspended, they're not lost. You might feel hopeless at the moment. You might feel disillusioned. But if you know that your promises are suspended, you know that God's word upon your life, your calling, your breakthrough, won't you raise your hand? If this word is identified with you this morning, won't you raise your hand? That God's going to come through for you in his perfect time. And amen, George. Come on. And I want you that have raised your hands this morning to trust God this morning in this place, time of intimacy, as we join together in the waiting room for him to break through in your life this morning. So I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and I'm going to invite you to come forward. Visitors, you're more than welcome to come to the visitors lounge over there, and we'd love to get you some coffee. But we just want to have an opportunity this morning to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And we thank you for this time in the waiting room. It's not an easy place. It's frustrating sometimes for us. But Lord, you are going to break through for us in your perfect timing. Not our time contract, but your time appointment. And God, we thank you this morning that even though we are crying out, even though we are frustrated, God, there's hope in you. Those who hope, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And Lord, we pray that we would rise up this morning. Everyone who's raised their hands this morning, Lord Jesus, we thank you that as their dream, their word is suspended, you will bring it to pass in your way and not in theirs. God, help them to be patient. Help them to hold on before the joy set before them. They can endure what they're going through. Oh Lord, help us this morning to realize that you are doing a deep work in our hearts. You are the refining fire within us. You are working in and through the imbule in our lives. Oh God, We pray this morning for your breakthrough in your time to come. But may we hope and wait upon you in this time in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.